want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Judges. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Judges chapter 2. I want to read a verse of scripture. Judges chapter 2. Verse 1. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. I've entitled this message, An Assurance to God's People. And we need some assurance. We do need assurance. I've got three points. I want to just rehearse from these scriptures what the Lord has done for us, what he's done for us. Secondly, what he's doing for us right now. And then thirdly, what he's promised he'll never do to us. Never. Now this verse of scripture right here, it's a message from the Lord. And it says, an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim. Now, you know, it's a miracle of God's grace when God's people are able to hear from heaven. We know so little. We're ignorant people. But we want to believe we know a lot. We don't know anything. We see through a glass darkly. We don't know. Oh, Don Fortin, I told you this. Don told me one time, he said, Marvin, we don't know what God's doing. We walk in this world by faith. And we believe God. We believe what the Lord says to us. But this angel, an angel of the Lord, this is none other than the angel of the covenant. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that because of what he said. This is what he said. An angel of the Lord came up and he said, I brought you out of Egypt. Now who can say that but the Lord? Nobody can say that. I brought you out of Egypt, up out of Egypt. I brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. Again, only the Lord said that. And then he said, I'll never break my covenant with you. That was his covenant. He's talking about his covenant. So, the angel of the Lord came to Israel, came to God's people. It's a picture of God's people. But I want you to know where he came from. The scripture says that he came up from Gilgal. Now, there's nothing in this book that's just written for no reason. The Lord just doesn't put words in there, words that so many times we can't even read or pronounce. There's a reason. Gilgal means rolling. That means rolling. And there was something about that place right there, Gilgal, that was very significant about that word, Gilgal, rolling. And I'll just read this to you. Joshua 5:9. It said, and the Lord said unto Joshua, they've gone over the Jordan River, and they're They're in a place there where God's brought them, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. I've rolled it away. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. That's what Gilgal means, rolling off, like rolling off of a big stone, you know. You get a big old rock on top of you. It weighs a whole lot more than you do. And you know what you're going to need? I need a little help. I need somebody to roll this off of me. I can't get it off. That's what it means. The rolling, this day have I rolled the reproach of Egypt from off from you. Now that rolling away of the reproach, the scorn, the taunting, the disgrace that came from Egypt when the children of Israel were in bondage. Oh, the reproach that was spewed out upon the people of God. You put hold your place right there. Turn back to Exodus. Genesis, Exodus. Exodus chapter 5. Just look at the reproach. Now this is where it came from. This reproach toward the people of God. It came because the Egyptians, which is their picture, you know this, the picture of bondage, sin, that has God's people bound up. Where did it come from? Well, this is the attitude of an unbeliever before the people of God because of their attitude toward God. Look at Exodus 5. The Lord has sent Moses into Egypt, and he said, you go tell Pharaoh that I said, let my people go. You go tell them that I said, you let my people go. Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who's the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Now, where do you think that reproach comes from? It comes out of a heart of those that don't know him, don't know the Lord, don't know God, and don't respect him. And that reproach manifests itself in a way that's hard and unloving toward God's people. Same chapter, Exodus 5. Look at verses 5 to 9. Here's Pharaoh's attitude whenever Moses told him what the Lord said. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, and the tale or the amount of the bricks which they did make heretofore you shall lay upon them. You shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. That you're telling me that you want these people, you want me to let them go so they can go worship. I tell you what, looks like to me they've got too much time on their hands. We're not going to gather straw for them anymore. They have to gather their own straw, and I want the same amount of bricks made. And maybe that'll settle them down. That's that reproach. That's that hardness. And even turn over to Exodus 14. That reproach that comes forth whenever those that are doing the reproaching, what they're doing, they're setting forth that they doubt very seriously the Lord's ability to deliver his people. This is the attitude of the world. They hear what God's people has to say because they agree with these scriptures. And this is their attitude. Exodus 14, verses 1 to 4. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, now, here's the people. They've already come out of Egypt. They've come out. The Lord has brought them out of Egypt. And they're in the wilderness, and they're right before they're going to get ready to walk across the Red Sea. And they're at that point. And here comes the Egyptians. The Egyptians is coming after them. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they're entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Here they come. They're gonna get them. They got them hemmed in. The wilderness has got them hemmed in. God's not going to deliver them. That's what Pharaoh said. Let's go get them. We'll get them. They can't go anywhere. Well, back in Judges chapter 2, when Israel entered the land of Canaan, this is where they are. The Lord told Joshua, this day I brought you across the Jordan River, and now here you are. I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt off you. The world taunts, the world scorns, the world speaks harshly of God's people. But I'm telling you, there's a day of reckoning. There's a day of reckoning coming. At Calvary, all the accusations of Satan, the world, sin, so flesh, all of those accusations are going to be proven to have been rolled away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where they were. Back in Judges 2:1, angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal. But where did he go? Well, he said he went to Bochim. They were in Gilgal. And that's where they heard the glorious message of deliverance. I've taken all the reproach off of you. I've rolled it. It's gone. It's gone. But now they're in Bochim. Now, what does that mean? Well, that Bochim means weeping. Weeping. And what happened? They were in Gilgal. What happened? Well, let's turn back one page to Judges 1. Judges 1, verses 1 and 2. It said, now after the death of Joshua, now Joshua was the one that brought him in. Moses, the Lord wouldn't let Moses bring him in. Joshua was going to bring him in. Joshua brought him in. Now Joshua brought him in. They were in Gilgal. And the Lord told him, I've rolled away the reproach of the Egyptians off of you. But after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites? They've gone now into the land of Canaan. Who's going to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. I read that verse of Scripture, Neil, and I thought I could preach on this one right here. I can just go ahead. I'll put it in the hand of Judah. What do you think? Oh, behold the line of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. That's what the book says. Revelation chapter 5. The line of the tribe of Judah. There's a glorious picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The line of the tribe of Judah. Who will bring us in? Who going to fight for us? The Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. Who is our mighty victor? The Lord Jesus Christ. The line of the tribe of Judah. Here they are. The scripture says that God had promised them, I've given everything. It's all delivered. It's in your hand. This is where I brought you out of Egypt, and I brought you into Canaan. I'm going to let Judah lead the mighty victory. It's all delivered. It's all yours. It's all yours. Oh, but something happened. Something happened. It's all delivered. The one that shall not fail, he's going to prevail. But then something began to happen. They were to go into the land of Canaan and take it. It was theirs. The Lord had delivered them, had delivered the land unto them. It's yours. I've given it to you. I'll drive everybody out. This is yours. This is the victory. But something began to happen. In Judges chapter 1, same book, chapter 1, Judges, they went into the land and the Lord began to give it to them. Judah, verse 3, Judges chapter 1, verse 3, Judah said unto Simeon his brother, come up with me into my lot that we may fight against the Canaanites. I likewise will go with thee into thy lot. So Simeon went with Judah, and Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. They slew of them Bezek, 10,000 men. They found Adonai Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and on and on and on. And they were victory after victory after victory. But something happened, Fred. Something happened. Judges chapter 1, verse 22. And the house of Joseph, they went up against Bethel. And the Lord was with them. And the house of Joseph sent to descry, to spy out Bethel. Now the name of the city before was Luz. And the spies, the spies from Israel, saw a man come forth out of the city and said unto him, show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, that we may show thee mercy. And when he showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go the man and his family. And the man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city and called the name thereof Luz, which is the name thereof unto this day. Thereof unto this day. Something began to happen. Something was different. I want to show you what happened in just a minute, but I want to show you what they did first. The Lord has delivered the land into their hand. It's yours. Take it. I've given it to you. I've given it to you. Look at verse 27. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and her towns, nor Taanach, her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns. But the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Now, here they are. I'm still going to look for a moment here in chapter 2, Judges chapter 2, and verse 1. The Lord said, I made you go out of Egypt. I brought you out. I brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. I brought you here. And here is what the Lord has done. I brought you out of Egypt. And this is what he's doing for us right now. He's keeping us. He's keeping us. They're in Canaan right now. But the Lord had told them in verse 2, 3, 4, 5 of Judges chapter 2. Here's what he said. You shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. That's what we just read. I've delivered the land into your hand. You go ahead. I gave you this. It's your land. This is your land. This belongs to me, and I gave it to you. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto the children of Israel, that the Lord lifted up their voice and wept, and they called the name of that place Bochim. And they sacrificed there unto the Lord. What happened? The Lord's taken us out of Egypt. Where are we right now? We're in Bochum. And we're suffering. And we're seeing. We're seeing something. Two men in us. Oh, the beauty of being able to behold in a believer a heart that is willing to obey. Joshua, after Joshua died, the Lord said, I'm gonna send in Judah. And Judah's is gonna lead them. They're gonna take them. And they did. But then all of a sudden something happened. They began to compromise a little bit. Just a little bit. And they began to suffer because they didn't drive out that which was oppressing them. Hold your place there. Look at Psalm 103. And I jotted this down. It was just a verse of comfort to me. Psalm 103, verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our infirmities. You know, while we look at what the Lord did for Israel, look at the mighty hand when he took them out. I made you come out of Egypt. Sent those plagues. Finally, the Egyptian says, well, okay, we're done. We're done. Leave. The Lord said, I made you come out of Egypt. I brought you out. And they came out, and there they were in Gilgal. And they were just rejoicing. Oh, thank God that the Lord rolled away the reproach from us. Then the Lord found them in Bochum to remind us of what, thanks be unto his name, what he's doing for us right now. There's an old man in all of us. Somebody said, I can't believe the nation of Israel, after God brought them through the Red Sea, after all those plagues in Egypt, and brought them through the Red Sea, and all the time he just kept, he fed them with manna and quail, and their clothes never wore out. I can't believe that they would not believe the Lord. Paul said, I see in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. To will is present with me, but how to accomplish that which I would, I find not. Oh, wretched man that I am. You see yourself in Bochum, weeping. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, have mercy on this sinner. This is where he brought us from, y'all. He's brought us out of Egypt. Thanks be unto his name. He's rolled away the reproach from off of us. And we're going through this world right now, suffering with this old flesh, this battle that's going on. I'm telling you, we're going to stay right here until we leave this world. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The scripture says, 2 Corinthians 1:10, this is the hope of a believer. 2 Corinthians 1:10, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver us right now, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Lord, what you've done for me, what you're doing for me, and what you shall do for me, or what you shall never do to me. Here's my third and last point right here. Back in Judges chapter 2, verse 1. The angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim, said, I made you go up out of Egypt and brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, now here's our hope right here. I will never break my covenant with you. Lord, if you deal with me after my iniquity, and you promised that you wouldn't, if you dealt with me for what I deserved, I'd be cast out. I pray that God bless this to our heart. What he's done for us, what he's doing for us, and what he's promised I'll never do to you.